Book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And let's go to verse 9. Ecclesiastes. Now, if you're kind of wondering where that's at, that's over. You can just go over and find Proverbs and just keep coming forward from it. Psalms, Proverbs, get in there. Ecclesiastes. Verse 9, it says this. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Now, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and he penned these words in Ecclesiastes here, and he kind of got into a little bit of a word salad there, didn't he? The thing that hath been, that shall be again. And he's talking about those kind of things. But basically what Solomon is trying to say is this, in some fancy words in the Word of God, is that history repeats itself. He's trying to tell us here that there's nothing new under the sun. Now, when you see that, because I'm going to show you something else here in a minute, but when you see that he's talking about that there's nothing new under the sun, here's the thing. He says this. He says there's no remembrance of the things. See, there's things that happen that we don't know anything about. It was way before our time, way before it was recorded. There's things that happened. And what he's saying is those things happen, so we can't remember them. But he's also saying this, the things that we're doing now, should Jesus tarry, there'll be a time when people won't remember this. There'll be a time that when people won't remember that New Generation Church had church on a Wednesday night with bad snow and bad parking lot and the people braved and came on out to worship God. People won't even know that. And so Solomon's saying, though, this. He said, what has been will be again. So I want to show you something with that because I want you to keep that in mind because Solomon says that there's nothing new under the sun. But jump over here with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. And he's prophesying by the Spirit of God here. And look in verse 18, Isaiah 43, verse 18. Here's what he says. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Now, look what he says here. Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun, and here the Lord say, I'm going to do a new thing. And it seems like a contradiction of himself, but what's going on here is that what Solomon's saying is this. What's been is going to be. And then Isaiah's coming in here and saying, okay, I'm going to make something that has been new again. You see, what he's saying is this. Notice that he's talking about the beast worshiping him. Notice that he's talking about he's formed a people to worship him. You see, what's happening now is God is taking what has been, and that was the fact that his people worshiped him with everything that was in them. And he's turning things around now because how many knows people have drifted away from God? The church has drifted away from God. Come on now. See, I mean, we're here and it's just us. My feeling has always been this. I'm going to give God everything I have. I'm going to give him my all. Now, do I fail sometimes? Absolutely. Do I fall short sometimes? Absolutely. But I'm going to give God everything I have. That's why we're having church tonight. If I could get out and go to Ashland today, then surely I can drive to Sagersville. Come on now. You see, that's my mentality's always been that when I was working in the strip mines. I went to Pike County in 20 inches of snow. Because they said, you have to come. They were out on the 23 saying, if we catch you on 23, we will arrest you. And I went anyway. Now, if I could do that for a job, how much more should I be able to do it for God? Amen. You see, and so a lot of folks, you know, it's about our priorities. God is bringing His people back to get our priorities straight again. At one time, people knew that God was God, and that's the thing to do was worship Him. Come on, you hear the stories. I don't remember ever seeing it, but because it was before my time, so I have no remembrance of it. But I have heard old-time Christians talking about when they had church in their little white church building with no heat, and the windows had to be open because there was no air conditioning. And they had wooden pews or boards that they sat on. That every Sunday morning when church time came, the house would fill up so full there was no room for anybody else inside. So people would gather up outside and stand around the windows so they could be part of what God was doing here and in that church. And today we can't hardly beg people to get here. Come on, now we can offer them all the finest luxury and they don't. But here's the thing. God is bringing His people back. I do believe it is a new time, a new season, and God's doing a new thing. And that new thing is to do what old thing was. And that's bring the people back to pure worship to Him, to realize that He's the only God and the only thing that matters is Him. See, folks, in a lot of these other countries, Brother Jason showed me a few minutes ago a little old Bible that was about that big, and it just, the writing is so tiny that it comes with a magnifying glass. And he said it was used a lot of times. They're sending it to other countries where the Bible's against the law. And it's small enough they can hide it and keep it hid, but they can still have the Word of God. Now, we're privileged to have the Word of God. Okay? But when you get in countries like that, those people realize and know God is their only source. Come on now, if we're not careful around here, we'll get into abundance and we'll start thinking we're our source. We'll start thinking our job is our source. Come on now. We'll start thinking our family's our source, our careers our source, whatever it is. But I'm going to tell you, God is our source, and the church has got to get back to worshiping God and believing God and beginning to stand together in unity and harmony and beginning to speak like God says for us to speak. You know, back when they had the hurricane coming into Florida, the church united to a certain degree and diverted a storm. Now, people can say whatever they want to. Well, it just dissipated. It just did that, whatever. No, they were saying it's going to be the worst storm that's ever been, and it wasn't. And the reason it wasn't, because there were people that loved God and believed God and spoke. Come on, the Bible says you'll decree a thing and it'll come to pass. God's trying to bring His people back to that. He's trying to, the new thing that He's doing is not something that's never been before. The new thing He's trying to do is new for us. It's new for the church. Get the church back to where it was. What has been shall be again. You see, I want the church returned to its former glory. Come on. There was a time when elected officials would have been afraid to say something bad against the church. Come on, they revered the church, and the church stood for something magnificent. But now it's disdained. And matter of fact, most of the government thought that we were just not essential anymore. You see, but that's the kind of thinking that's got them in trouble that they're in now. You see, because God is God, and there'll be no gods before Him. And just when people think, and I said people, I'm talking about man. When man thinks that he's something, God shows him that he's nothing. Amen. So that's when Solomon's talking about, you know, it's what's been going to be again. He's talking about now the new thing Isaiah's doing. It's a new year, a new start. I believe it's a new season. I believe that finally enough Christians woke up to realize, listen, if we don't do anything, if we just sit back, the devil's going to just run over us all and do what he wants to do. How about we stand up and let's do what's right for a change and let's get God back in our country. Come on now. Because when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. But when the righteous rule, they rejoice. They're happy. That's time for the Christians to get happy again. Come on, it's time for us to begin to stand up. God brought this nation forth so it could be a beacon of Christianity. I don't care what anybody else says, this is a Christian. You know, there are folks out there, especially those that are liberals and those that are anti-God. They say it's not a Christian nation, it's a nation of all religions. It's a nation of all religions because we've had government officials that allowed it to be that way. It is a Christian nation that was formed upon Christian principles and the Word of God. Come on. I understand why folks want to come from other countries and be in America. I've only been to one third world country, and that's enough for me. And I understand why sometimes Haitians would get on a boat not knowing whether they'd make it to America or not, take a chance with their life just to try to get here to get away from that. Get away from the voodoo, the poverty, all the things that were going on there to try to make it to the land of promise. You see? And so there are people that are saying, you know, well, they're not a Christian country. Yes, we are. We are a Christian country. And here's the thing. Those people that are coming here ought to come here knowing this is a Christian country. Come on, part of the creed. In order to become a United States citizen, you ought to understand that Christianity is the religion of this country. Now, you do whatever you want to inside your house, but all this stuff that they're doing now, making it, you know, well, if you want to worship the devil, that's fine. If you want, nonsense. God first. I'm talking about Jehovah God. I'm not talking about the Muhammad God. Come on, church. Now, I mean,
if we want to get our country back to where it needs to be and get the church back where it needs to be, it's time for us to begin to stand up and pray against these things that are going on. Is my mic on? Did it quit? Did it die?
Okay. Well, we just preach with this. Have we got anybody to turn it on up there? It's the black mic. Is it on? Okay. Yeah, they got me somewhere. All right. Praise the Lord. But it's time for us to get to the place where we're standing once again and saying, you know what? You can be a Muslim if you want to. We're not going to stand and say, now don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be mean to anybody that's got a different religion, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell them they're wrong. You're wrong. If you want to get to heaven, there's only one way we get to heaven, right? Come on, that's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And that's through the Lord Jesus. I'm trying to be anti anybody. I'm just trying to be pro-Christian. That's who I'm for, is God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's Him that's bringing these things to pass. It's Him that's changing things and bringing things anew. I think we're going to see some new things in the church. I think we're going to begin to see some things happening in the church. Because I really believe that we're close to the last days. And I believe God is this is a chance for the church to rise up. Now, come on, the past government was against Christianity, against the church, against Christians, and was pro everything heathen. Come on now, church, it's an opportunity for the church to rise up, because at least it don't matter whether they're for us against or not, as long as they're not against us. I believe they'll be for us. I really do. But here's the thing. It's that the church has to make a stand for itself. You can't sit back and say, well, the government's going to take care of the church. No, God takes care of the church. It's the church that ought to be praying about the government and letting God's will be done in the government so that the new thing can come to pass and the government be behind it. Amen. See, it's time for once again. I mean, you know, if you look and understand, one of the reasons that and you should know this, one of the reasons that the Catholic Church is still powerful is because they've always been in power to the point that the kings and the government were afraid of them. Now, you're looking at me real funny. See, that was the form of religion. But I don't want religion, I want Christianity. And it's time that the governments and the officials and the kings and whoever's there realize that it's not about Catholicism, but it's about Christianity. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, because thank God the Catholics are getting saved. Come on, they're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Muslims are getting saved. People are realizing, hey, this form of religion is getting me nowhere. There's no power in that. But the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. The power is in the Holy Ghost that's been placed on the inside of us. And this new thing that God is doing is releasing the power of God back into the universe through us. Through the church. We've got to stand up and not be ashamed of the fact that we're filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. Come on, we need to understand that you and I, we cannot be ashamed or back down about our authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll get fault because even religious folks, Christians that are religious, when you start talking that, had a fellow tell me the other day, this talking about the weather show, I ain't nothing to do about that. I disagree with him too. I believe there is something you can do about it. If Jesus could, we can. Right? Because He said, the things I do, you'll do, and even greater works shall you do. You see, some of the new things I believe we're going to see come to pass is for Christians to finally wake up and realize, God didn't save me just to sit in a pew. God didn't save me just to be a church member. But God saved me so that I could be an effective tool on this earth for the Holy Ghost to work through. And so I believe that's part of the biggest thing that God's going to do is wake up His Christians and bring them back to life. Shake them. Stand and grab hold of what's ours. We'll get it taken away from us. We need to understand that God has got to be first in our lives. We need to be putting Him first in everything that we do. I like what Stephanie said a few minutes ago about the tithe. I'm glad I learned that there's financial security in the tithe. But not just financial security, but it's also the protection that rebukes the devourer for my sake. So, if I had to eat bologna and give my tithe, I'm going to eat bologna. Come on, if I have to eat bread and water, and I'm going to give my tithe. You see, people look at you real funny when you say that. I know that if I put God first, He will never fail. We just sung that song. I trust in God, and He'll never fail. He never has. There have been times that for us have been very lean. But I seen God just move in a big time way. I believe God in this new thing. He's wanting to get people's eyes open and to trust in Him, not trust in their finances for them to get it for themselves, but to trust in their finances that when they do what they're supposed to do with God's part, God will make sure we get our part. You see, there's some things that have to change, that the church has gotten slack. And I'm not talking about our church in particular. I'm talking about the church worldwide. We've gotten to the point where we're not trusting God the way we once did at one time. Again, other countries, they have no other choice but to trust God, because they have to trust God for the next bite they eat. They have to trust God for the safety as they worship, because at any time they could be killed just for worshiping God. We've been blessed here in this country, and we've kind of laid back, and we've almost got to the point that we're just like the disciples sitting around the table with Jesus, to where we're just kind of complacent. It's just another day. Every day is just another day with Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Every day that you have with Jesus is a special day. Every moment that you spend with Him is a special moment. Tonight is a special time. I sometimes like it when the faithful just get out and say, you know what, there might be snow on, everybody else might be, it won't be, it might not be, maybe, but I'm going to go. I'm going to show, because I came to worship Him. And it's about Him. So as we move into this year, notice here that one of the new things that He says here, He says, this people have I formed for myself that they may worship me. You were created to worship God. You were created. I'm going to prove it to you. Let me show you here. It's familiar, but I want to give it to you from the Word of God so you see it anyway. All right? Go with me to Psalm 150. We'll show you two different things. Psalm 150 here. God's moving things. One of the things that He's doing here is He's bringing His people back to praise. No, not dead worship songs, not dead religious songs, but back to praise, to exalting Him and putting Him up. Look what He says in Psalms 150 here. He says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary." Look at there. You mean you don't have to be quiet? Not, I thought you were supposed to come in and just sit around and be quiet. No, He says, "Praise Him in the sanctuary." Right? Your Bible says the same thing. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. In others, in the middle of His presence, that's where we ought to be praising Him. He goes on and says, "Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness." Even if He's not done anything for you, you should praise Him for who He is. Now, I know He's done a lot for every one of us in here, but I want to show you that you still praise just because He is. Okay? He goes on and it says, "Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Notice, let everything that hath breath. Did you notice that it said over there in Isaiah that the beast of the fields will honor me? See, sometimes we think because we're human beings that we're the only one that can praise God. Can I tell you that the birds sing their song to God? Come on, they praise God. The Bible talks about even the sparrow. God knows. He created everything, church, not just us. Now we're His chosen ones. But everything on this earth God created, and it praises Him. The Bible says that the very elements praise Him. Did you hear me? The Bible talks about creation groaning because you and I, the heirs of salvation, won't take our rightful place and praise Him. Jesus said, if you don't let them praise Me, these rocks will cry out. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let a rock out praise Me. Come on. I'm more than a rock. Come on, church. He says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. If you're breathing, you ought to be praising. Because the very life that you have right now is because He gave it to you. The family you have is because He gave it to you. Come on, church. You're here tonight because of Him. We have a reason to praise Him. A lot of people forget that God created them and gave them the life they have now. If you have a good life, man ought to say, amen, praise God, right? Why? Because this is the life God gave me, and I'm going to spend it praising Him. Now, I'm going to jump over here and give you one more scripture. Look over here with me in 1 Peter, because he said, "This people have I formed by myself, that they may praise Me." He's talking Old Testament there, but look here what Peter says in 1 Peter, chapter 2. Look at verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation." Who? Us. Usens, ye, and me. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. See, it makes you peculiar when you put God first. When God is the first thing in your life and everything else takes a back seat to it, people think you're peculiar. You know, them people there, they're peculiar. You know, they go to church with big snow on. Come on now. You know, they ought to have enough sense to stay home when it's bad like this. But those same people will be out in the morning at 6 o'clock on their way to work, or maybe even earlier. Come on now. Going to Walmart. I heard somebody say that. That's right. Just go over there. You can catch the church anytime you want to over there. Any Sunday that they're not church, go just go over there and watch. Come on now. Because we got to get out for that. Peculiar people we are. Let go look what he says about him, though. He says, you're peculiar people that you should show forth. Look at that. This people have I created for myself that they may show forth my praise, right? Isn't that what Isaiah said? Here he says, we're peculiar that ye, us, should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at that. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter says this, you were born for this. You were chosen for this. God in himself and in his magnificence chose to make you a that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of Satan's kingdom and over into his kingdom. You weren't a people before, had no hope, weren't even in the lineage of God. But God in his wisdom said, you know what? I'm going to take those people right there. I choose to take those people and bring them into my family and let them praise me. Come on, church. See, as we're going through this year, we cannot forget that God wants us to praise him and keep his praises on our lips. We should continually praise him in everything. Now, I understand that things are not always going to go good. As far as the natural goes, it's not ever always going to go our way. But in either case, what you and I have to do is have to look at the situation and say, well, you know what? Could have been worse. Instead of saying, my God, why is this always happening to me? Right? Come on now. See, we're going to have to praise God and understand that God is always working all things together for good to them that love him. Those that are the called according to his purpose. You're chosen, right? So that makes you the called. And so God's working all things together, even when it don't look like it. God's working it out. Even when it looks like, man, everybody else is doing good and I'm not doing so well. Don't worry. God's got this. He's working it out. What we have to do as we go in through this year, if we got to realize that this, I really believe this is a year for the children of God. And I pray that for the next few years, there's going to be open doors that God's going to open and no man can shut. And there are going to be things come to pass because we're faithful to him and because we've been praying, we're going to see our prayers answered and we're going to watch God move in a mighty way. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles manifest. Not just talk about them. Now, we've seen a degree. We've seen some things happen. Talked to Brother Larry Duty just the other day. And he said, it's been 2 years now. It didn't seem like it had been that long. He said, I never did go to a doctor. He said, I'm doing great. Thank God. See, that's something God did. We watched that. We witnessed that. We saw it with our own eyes. Don't have to ask nobody about it. Don't got to read about it. Don't got to guess about it. Watched it. Watched it. I mean, watched his jaw go from a droop and slurred speech to being all right. Being taken care of. I mean, that don't happen like that, folks. Just ask any doctors you want to. They'll tell you if you see somebody like that, get them to the hospital as soon as possible. But he was in the hospital. And he had the great physician operating on him. The great physician wants to operate this year. He wants to move in our midst this year. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to believe this year? I mean, I'm talking about really believe. I'm not talking about just coming in and saying, it's Sunday morning. I got to get up and got to get ready. Or are you going to get up and say, you know what? It's Sunday. It's Sunday morning. This is an opportunity for God to move in a mighty way. This is an opportunity for the great physician to show himself mighty in our congregation. This is a great, great opportunity for the Savior to become the Savior in our church this morning and somebody be brought to the Lord. So it's up to you and I. What's going to be our expectation as we move on through this new season? Got to make up our mind. I don't know about you, but I want to see the full manifestation and presence of God. Don't you? Amen. Will you believe with me this year? Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father God. We know that you're doing a new thing. We thank you, Father God, that it's a new year with a new beginning and you've already began to move in the past and made things manifest now. But Father, we know you're just getting started. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we're going to increase our faith. We're going to begin to speak and believe more than we ever have. And we're going to allow you to operate in our midst, Father God. And not only operate, but change hearts and minds that they'll see that they got to put you first. And they'll see it happening in their lives, in their families, and all around. Everywhere they go, they'll understand and know, I'm blessed because I put God first. And as we move into the new year, Lord, thank you for all you're going to do. And we just praise you for that in Jesus' name.